Sam helped me. I had a situation at work that involved the whole department, and so we went to the courts about it. And when we went to the courts, God said that the decision had already been made. So I didn't know what to do, and I asked her, and she says, "Well, you can appeal it like a regular court system." And when we talked to God, he says, "Well, I do have veto power." So we went back to the courts and put an appeal in, and that's worked because we got half a reversal on the decision at work. So I don't know what to do now to get the full relief when we got a reversal on half of it. And I mean, it was overnight. Once we did it overnight, everything changed. So, I didn't know if anybody else knew that you could appeal decisions, so I thought I would throw that out there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess depends really on who had the authority to make the decision and how. You know, when it comes to it, if you're going to appeal something, if a decision had already been made, was the decision made on some sort of legal right that the enemy had? Or
Yes,
was
because
it?
some of the people were Christians that made the decision. And for us to get the right keys turned, I had to repent on behalf of the Christians that it was a ethical and moral type of decision that they had made that was wrong. And they agreed to it. So I repented on their behalf. These people were in leadership. And when I did that's how we got the appeal to go through.
Right, yeah. Well, that shows the power that Christians have. You know, even to do things which aren't necessarily right. And God sometimes gives us the desires of our heart when we pursue Him for them, even though they're not the things that He wants, because that's what judicial legal things do. You know, but it's great that you were able to see it overturned, at least. At least partially, anyway. And it goes to show, that when we are out working these things, the power that the religious spirits have operating in Christians to get Christians to do things which are, totally outside of bringing justice into situations, but they're still powerful. Because of their position, and I think it's one of those things to think about quite a lot, really. I will meditate on that a little bit in terms of seeing what that, and how you take it further. I don't know,
Well, he
because
said
it
he
is
has
different.
veto power, so veto power means we can get a total reversal. It's just working it out to get it.
Well, yeah, you may need to use the keys of the kingdom and loose them from the mindsets that are causing them to operate this way in the first place.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Because they obviously aren't, they're not flowing in the purposes of God. So what are they flowing in? Maybe they're operating from a religious mindset or operating out of some sort of fear or some sort of intimidation, potentially. Actually, okay, what is the root behind that? And then you can bind them to the purposes of God in this situation, which will always going to be justice, righteousness and justice, to see that justice outworked. Yeah, interesting that. Well, I love it when people find out this stuff, because it's just all part of learning and growing together, isn't it? And it's just like, hey, I've never really
Well,
thought of it like
Pam helped. She conferred with me, so I have to give her credit. She gave me the idea.
It's
Yeah, which
just
is great.
like, any legal system. I believe you can get reversals because oftentimes the, well, it seems that, wrong or the enemy can sometimes get judgments against us if no one's standing there to object. That's what Ian was saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And the little girl that I've been mentoring, we were out for the day, and so she's been to heaven. She's seen the white room and submitted now. And so I said, we have this issue, this problem. This is before the issue was solved. And I said, so we are going to go to the courts. And she actually heard verbally, mandate. You needed a mandate. I mean, she was going through. So I was really excited that she's yeah. progressing. So I might not have a big group, but if I get them one by one, I still get them.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, again, because it's fruit, isn't it? You see fruit. You know, and when someone like that, they begin to hear the same protocol terminology, and they think, yeah, this isn't just some sort of made up thing. Actually, this is how the kingdom functions. You know, this is how it operates. You know, so yeah, it's very good, very good. Yeah.
Now we still see my husband and I. Like, he is seeing scrolls floating around and different things, and he hasn't grabbed all of them. But the men in white keep coming around, but for some reason we have not been able to interact with them yet. It's just like they're all watching or something. And there's more than one. He's seeing more than one.
Yeah. All right. Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are obviously a lot of them, and they will have an association with your destinies. Just identifying what that might be. You know, and try and interact with them and ask them. You know, what is it?
You're gonna have to chase them down.
I was wondering if this sounds feasible, or not even feasible, legal. Because this is something that we, by faith, a group of us did. We had a friend of one of our group was very, very ill. So we came together and went to court together. And we even summoned her. Well, we actually, my one friend who has a real heart connection, actually carried, it was like she was carrying her weakened spirit into the courtroom. And we stood and asked for judgments against various things, one of them being chemotherapy. And we then, after we received scrolls, we actually, the whole entire group, accompanied her back to her, where she was lying in another country, and we began to actually minister together. We all could feel and sense what was going on, laying hands on different parts, making different decrees, laying the scroll out, over her and things like that. And, I mean, we got an immediate report. She was feeling a whole lot better. Do you know of that, where it's a group, you can summon someone who's not part of the group into court and then, journey back in the spirit with them as a group, things like that? Have you heard of this?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, what you're doing is you're operating, if God had given you a mandate to do it, you can do anything.
Okay.
If she's in your sphere of relationship, then you carry her in your heart in some way, then that gives you access also to it. And in a sense, it's like your spirit was being relocated to minister to her where she is. Ultimately, you obviously physically, sometimes people get relocated physically, but actually spiritually you are going to. Well, you have a spiritual precedent for that in Ezekiel, because it's like it said that God takes him by a lock of his hair and pulls him out of his body when he with the elders by the river and takes him to see Jerusalem. So he's going to see something somewhere else. So absolutely, there's no problem with that at all. You know, and I'm expecting in days to the future, you know, our worship services won't be coming where we come and we hear a sermon and we come and do this. We will come around the presence of God. We will go and engage the ark of his presence, and we will all get mandates to go and do things like that. And there will be several people who just disappear physically from the room, and they go minister to somewhere else in the world because their mandate was to do that today. And then you'll see a ministration of what's in heaven outworked on earth in lots of different ways. You know, the way we do church and meetings is going to radically change once we learn to step in together into the realms of heaven and administer that out. You know, things will be totally different. You know, we're just in transition from where we are right now into engaging the fullness of that. And I believe we're moving towards that. You know, because when we imagine just come together and we're in the manifest presence of God, we're not sure whether we're heaven and earth is overlapped. We're not sure we're in the body, out of the body, but actually we're just ministering to the Lord and him ministering through us because we're just there in his presence. I mean, I think, you know, I sort of long for those when it gets like that. You know, when we break down sort of our, you know, Western educational approach to church meetings and engage in seeing the whole thing as an opportunity to engage destiny and mandates from God around his throne or around the mercy seat or different places. So, you know, I think it's great testimony of breaking through into a new dimension, a new realm. Just keep going, you know. That's just the first of probably loads of opportunities that God will give you.
I have such a bad connection, so I hope I, you know, stay on here. Another thing that I'm finding interesting is that I'm really being allowed to almost like accompany people to their mountains, helping them see what's there, engage what's there, almost being eyes and ears in a sense while they, you know, and it actually helps it open up for them, but while they go on and take ownership or, you know, rulership over their spheres, it's really, really exciting. It's almost easier to do that for someone else than it has been to do for myself. Yeah. And yeah, it's really, really interesting. I did encounter wolves for the first time in the spirit. What do you know about that?
Not a lot.
Not a lot? Okay. Okay.
No, well, I mean, I think anything like that is going to be symbolic of something. I know recently someone had an encounter with a white wolf, and when they looked into that, that was not a negative thing but a positive thing. But in terms of, you know, giants, dragons, ogres, wolves, anything, I think it's a representation of probably fear. It's a pack of wolves usually bring fear, but can represent something that the enemy probably, if there was more than one wolf, then you're looking at a pack. Therefore, you're probably looking at a strategy of the enemy probably identified there. You know, and I think some of it is just tuning into that sense of what is the symbolism of this in this situation. And it obviously will be different in different situations. But just going back to God with it. God, okay, what's the symbolism of a wolf? What does that represent? What was I seeing? And actually, okay, if that was a strategy of the enemy, I need to go and find out what it was and deal with it.
When we were praying for revival for our church, and we got a real revival, it lasted for 3 months. Two things we ran into. We ran into bears. Yep. And anytime you pray for revival, there's always bears. That's a representation of like a religious spirit and things that try to block it. But one time we ran into wolves. In the vision that I saw, there was a bridge, and it was sort of like dark outside, and the wolves were on the bridge blocking being able to go across. And there was more than one, so I agree with you. It's something that, you know, that's trying to hinder, trying to block things. And that's the only time that I've seen them, but I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, no, that's good. Because I think there are, you know, there are lots and lots of ways in which we can learn to understand what the things we're seeing and what they represent. And just the key is to go back to God and just ask and meditate around it. You know, if anything stands out in a vision or stands out in an encounter, it's usually for a purpose. And then if we're not sure at the time, then just go back, revisit it, bring it before, you know, I'd go and sit in my garden with God with some of those things and just talk to him about it. What does that mean? What was it representing? Is there anything I need to know? Okay, it was this, right, okay, now I need to go and take that and get a mandate. Why has it got legal, why will rules have legal rights? You know, why do bears have legal, why do these symbolic things of the enemy have any legal right to afflict us or to stop things? Well, it must come through other Christians. Either this generation or previous, that's the only authority that there is, because all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. He has given that co-heirship of authority to his believers. And if believers give that away to the enemy by cooperating with the enemy, by giving the enemy that authority, then he will use it. You know, so it's finding out why, you know, what has been done to enable him to do those sort of things.
I've also I can't tell if I'm cutting you off because you were breaking up on my phone. I've also noticed more than once in a court setting a giant actually vomiting up like scrolls and documents that they had on a person or a generational line. Mm. I thought that was actually it happened twice. That was a unique experience. It actually would, you know, vomit it up.
Yeah.
What it had. Okay. Right. So that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, it's just showing that it is a release of something. Mm-hmm. Probably in that situation, you are enforcing a legal empowerment for them to release what they've been holding, but probably didn't have the authority to kill them. So that would be an indication that yes, they're going to release, but there may be a other reason why they weren't actually dealt with in terms of taking their head off and demonstrating it. And again, it's again going back. What God? Why, Father, was I able to enforce this to get release of the blockage, but why was I not able to kill it? What was the reason? You know, and you know, he'll show you what it is. We'll go back and seek him about it. Okay. So, you got anything else? Any other questions or anything?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm just asking if there's anything else you want to talk about or...
Well, I wanted to mention, we're listening to some of the Ian Clayton teachings, and he was talking about prudence, standing with wisdom and engaging prudence actually gave you witty inventions, you know, different ideas for businesses. So by faith, I've been talking. I haven't seen anything, but by faith, I've been talking. And I have to admit, I got 4 business ideas. One of them must have come from the other side because it was not something a Christian could do, but it would definitely work. But the other 3, I was like amazed. This would work. This would work. So I got some business ideas. So now I'm going to try to work, because God does give you the wisdom. He gives you wisdom to obtain wealth is what it says. When you look at that scripture, it's not like he's giving you the wisdom, a thinking wisdom. He's giving you wisdom, the person of wisdom to help you so he can establish the covenant. So now I'm going to ask how to get the finances to implement one of these ideas. But it works. I was excited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's, again, that's another good testimony of what happens when you begin to engage in these realms. You know, then, you know, you can then go, yeah, seek wisdom for the strategy for how you outwork the idea. You know, and then, you know, get a mandate for it, you know, because I think you've been given the idea, but then, okay, which idea do I need to get a mandate to actually go and outwork that mandate, because then I carry authority, and then what you would do in that situation then is to nurture that in your heart. So you take that idea, you incubate it, you meditate around it, you seek wisdom, you look into it, you go back and look at the beginning to see where that idea came from in the heart of God, and look at the end, and then bring that into how do you manifest that in the day, because this whole circular thing around the arc of engaging the beginning and the end and seeing it manifested, it's because we carry and step into his presence, but we have to incubate that and nurture it in our heart as a desire. Because what you have is a witty invention and an idea. It needs to become the desire of your heart, which will then authorize you to govern it and rule it in the realms of heaven. And that takes time to begin to think about it, meditate on it, look into God in it. God, you know, where does this, what's the desire of your heart for this? You know, what's your intention for this? You know, where is this going? Show me the pathway that this is going to open up. You know, what is your purpose for what this is going to release financially? You know, is there a wider purpose? Do you want me to do this with it or that with it? Is there something in the kingdom that this is released so that it is for my blessing, but so I can be a blessing? And you begin just to start thinking, talking to him, meditating around it, and you'll find the desires of your heart will be shaped. You'll begin to carry it. It will begin to grow in you. It's like being pregnant. You're pregnant with that idea. And you're thinking about it. And as you're thinking about it with God, then you'll find that the desires of your heart will draw you towards an outworking. And then you can then administer that from your mountain. You know, you can't administer that which you don't carry. As you're then carrying it, then you have authority to begin to administer it in the kingdom, which is good, you know. So that would be my encouragement. Yeah, just really incubate those ideas, so that they're yours, you know. They belong to you, rather than just an idea that someone else has given you. Which of them are you going to actually really resonate with and come into alignment with? Because that will enable you then to administer around it. But that's good. Yeah, really good testimony.
See, this is why it's so valuable having this mentorship with you. You know, I've engaged Prudence and I've gotten ideas, but I didn't go through those steps. I bet you I will now. You know, you don't think about that. You get something like, yeah, and you start and run with it. Mm. And, I'm going to listen to this again and write down notes. That's good.
Yeah, I've done quite a few sessions recently where I've shared some of this about desire. On the playlist on the YouTube thing, that they'll be under desire, you know, cultivating desire, because it comes with in everything. You know, it's like, you know, even I think it's Psalm 34. Where it talks about, you know, God will give us the desires of our hearts. You know, and hope fulfilled becomes a tree of life. But you see, hope is that idea, but our idea needs incubating until it becomes the substance of faith, in then which that idea will then be manifested. So there's a process of developing, and I've shared a couple of times, but I've shared in my own life how I do this with God. You know, I just spend that time around it, thinking about it, looking back into before, into into eternity, looking back into the destiny where before the flood, before the fall, when there was no sin, and looking, what does this look like from your perspective? What does it look like from the freedom of the glory of the children of God? What does it look like? You know, how do I really sort of see this nurtured? And from a natural sense, you know, I do that. So, you know, I like, you know, like a lot of boys, we like toys. And it's like when a new piece of technology or a new piece of kit or something out, you know, I'll have a look at it and I'll, wow, that's interesting. And I will actually begin, if I think it's interesting, I'll into research about it. So I'll go and read reviews about it. Then I will go and download the manual to see what it does. Then I might go and find a forum where people talk about it and they have ideas and they share how you got over this problem with that and you saw this. So I find out all about it, you know, and then it gets to a point where that's cultivated in my heart that I want to go and buy it. So I've got the desire in my heart to purchase that, and then I will go and buy it, and then I will then learn how to use it, and I'll practice, and I'll keep using the forums until I get familiar with it. Then it's mine, and it becomes just part of what I do and how I use it in my life. And it's exactly the same. You know, you might have the same thing with shoes or handbags or things. You sort of look at them and you begin to, you know, that's we do it. We set our desires on them. And eventually it gets to the point where I want that. And it's the same with this in God. The things that God really reveals to us, the destiny, the things he has for us, they must become such a desire in our heart that we will do anything to secure that desire. It will just be a overwhelming desire that draws us, and then we will pursue it. You know, you won't pursue that which you don't really desire. You may have a wish, and you may have wishful thinking about something, but to pursue it, you need to cultivate desire. And it really is an absolute key in everything, because when it's in your heart, you have authority to administer it. Hence, you know, when you were talking about the lady the other day and, you know, and the thing, it's like because she was your friend. It's like someone had her in their heart which authorized you to have access to her in the spiritual realm. And the same thing occurs to all these things. You know, we have an idea. It often is a seed. But that seed needs nurturing, watering, tending. And then it will begin to produce roots and shoots, and eventually you'll get fruit from that seed. And it's how everything works in the kingdom. We cultivate desire, and I do that around the presence of God, around the ark, because I'm looking from his four faces. I'm looking at his name. I want to be in his name, so I'm standing in him. I'm beginning to look from the future and the past and look at the end and the beginning, and I'm just going back to God. Show me. You know, what does this look like from your perspective, not mine? Because that's the problem. We can develop something from our perspective and it end up being like Ishmael, because God's desire was for a son for Abraham, and Abraham had that desire, but he didn't get the full picture of what it meant to be a son and what it meant to be a son of him and Sarah. And so he went through the Ishmael and that thing because they hadn't actually really cultivated what the desire was. But once they did, then it began to be a tree of life, a fulfillment of that. It's a really, really important process in the kingdom.
I had not noticed or had not made the connection of how universal that is. I mean, I've heard you teach this and it made a lot of sense, but you just, the light just didn't come on about how it's connected to everything. That's good.
Yeah, no, definitely connected to everything. And it's important to make sure that, you know, the desires of our heart are aligned with his. You know?
Right.
Because I know people who have pursued God and pursued God and pursued God for something which actually they wanted and actually wasn't really the desire of God's heart for them, but God gave it to them anyway, and it ended up with no end of trouble. no end of trouble. Because it's a spiritual principle, you know, and so we have to make sure that those desires are the God's desires for us by surrendering them and submitting them all the time, making sure that our motives are pure, making sure that this isn't for something for self-promotion or to bring me glory or to make me more comfortable, or what's the kingdom purpose? What is God's purpose in this? Because once I know God's purpose in it, then I have total confidence in authority that I can administer God's purpose, which is why it takes the time to develop it and incubate it. You know, because I will be always going back with him, making sure, you know, I don't want this to be something which is a good idea for me. I really want to make sure it's your idea. This is your desire, your heart. You know, and then once I've really got hold of something, then it's just like I will pursue it. You know, I will be persistent. I'll persevere. You know, I will demonstrate patience in not giving up until I have it. You know, and for forerunners, that's what we have to be, because we have to push through and make holes for people to follow. And so often you get the biggest opposition when you're taking new ground and opening up new portals and new opportunities. There's opposition that you have to sort of overcome. And a lot of people give up because of opposition. It's, oh, well, that's not God. It's too hard. No, actually, it is God, and it's hard because the enemy doesn't want it. So we leave to learn to overcome and subdue, which is Adam and Eve's commission, subdue and rule over. God didn't say, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and everything will be a bed of roses, and it'll all just happen. He actually said, no, subdue, which means to overcome, and then rule. You know, and I think a lot of Christians miss that bit, and as soon as it gets tough, they give up. They think, oh, that's not God. That couldn't be God. It's just too hard. Well, not necessarily, and we need to be very clear. You know, now obviously we want to make sure that it's God and not just ourselves, because God will put obstacles in our way if we're on a path that he doesn't want us to follow. So having discernment and making sure that we have this intimacy that enables us to ask those questions, get the revelation that we need, is absolutely key, because sometimes what God does and what the enemy does looks very, very similar. Because sometimes God uses the enemy. And so we have to be very careful that we don't dismiss something as opposition that, oh, well, that's the enemy, when it actually is God showing us, hey, don't go down this pathway. You know, and I always use that when ministering to people. I want to know what the Spirit of the Lord has in this dynamic. Because someone comes to me and says, can you help me? Can you minister to me? I'm going through this. And my immediate reaction would be, of course, yes, because I want you to be blessed and I want you to be encouraged. But actually, what I do now, I ask, God, is this you? Are you using this situation in the person's life to mature them and cause them to grow and to get stronger? Because if I help them out of that situation, I am stopping them growing. And if it's the enemy that's blocking, then yeah, we can try and deal with that. But if it's God, then I don't want to be on the wrong side of that equation. And so I will then be saying to the person, look, I believe that you're in this situation because God is using it. So I want to encourage you. We will walk this through with you, but we're not going to get you out of it. We'll help walk along with you through this process and help you overcome. And we do that with our kids all the time. You know, so I mean, we bailed out our kids sometimes. And actually, we didn't teach them responsibility, because they should have learned through the process, because we're loving. We're full of compassion at times. We just want to make sure that when we minister, we're knowing what God's purpose is. Because he can bring good out of every situation. You know, not that God ever brings sickness or anything like that. He doesn't. But certain circumstances, like, you know, James, count it all joy, brothers, when you encounter various trials. because those trials will perfect our faith. They will cause us to get stronger in overcoming, which means we don't take away the obstruction, we remove it and help the person to remove it in their life and overcome it. So, yeah. Good.
Yeah, I must admit, I do not do that often enough. Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah, well, I've been there myself, you know, and found myself ministering to someone out of compassion and not out of wisdom.
Yeah.
And discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why we just need to be connected to the realm of the spirit all the time, so that flow can be just flowing through us, that revelation, the insight, the wisdom that comes from being connected to that realm can be just flowing through us in this realm, you know, to make us more effective in fulfilling the purposes of God on a daily basis. You know, because I now don't make assumptions about anything. Because so many times I've made assumptions thinking I understood or knew because I was looking on the surface of something and not looking behind it or underneath it. And now I am much more slow to act, making sure that I am aware of what the spiritual dynamics are in a situation. You know. Whoops, sorry.
I had asked you several meetings back what Event Horizon was, and I'm getting a greater understanding of what he means to be to me, and it's like just walking that blurred line where you are actually in both places at once, you know, walking with God in the midst of men simultaneously, and it's not easy, but that's where he's taking
you. Because I think talks about it a lot, doesn't he? Because it's that I know he describes it as, you know, all your past is a second and all your future is a second, and you can live in between it and bring that into today. You know, and I think that's the Event Horizon that we live on, because we have access in Christ to all that was before and all that will be, so that we can actually see that to today. And actually, the future is not written. So we can get to write it out of looking into what God's plans and purposes are, so that we get to be co-authors of the future. You know, because sometimes people look into the future prophetically and see negative things. Well, rather than seeing that as a foregone conclusion, you can look into that and actually then go back to the beginning and see what God's perfect intention is, and then bring that into today to change what the future will be. You know, because it's not fate. You know, God has a plan and purpose for us, but our cooperation in that plan and purpose is what will bring the manifestation of it. And sometimes we can see things that then we need to be aware that we can then bring change into that. And so we get to see what God's purpose is and then see that manifested. And living on that event horizon is where it is. You know, you're right. It's living right on the place where we can actually see breakthrough every day, because we live in the presence of the future and the past in Him, on the timeline, really, in Him. Because in Him He was slain before the foundation of the world, so in Him there is nothing that is an obstacle to what the work purposes of God are. Being in Him, we can begin to see that and to minister out of it, you know, which is really good.
Have you had
any... Explains...
Sorry.
No, we go ahead.
I was wondering if you had had any experiences with the translocation, going somewhere and preaching to someone else, going somewhere and doing things.
Not really, no. I mean, A, it's not a desire in my heart as yet. So it's not one of those things I've cultivated desire for, because I know what I'm doing and I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do right now. I have had a supernatural occasion where God actually shifted me in space, time. I was driving along and I was late, and you know, I drove around a corner, and then I found myself 5 miles further down the road, and I arrived early. And when I measured the mileage, I measured the mileage on the way home on the same route. You know, I think it was like 5.6 or something miles shorter on the way there than it was on the way back. So in that sense, there was a shifting, but I can't say that I felt anything other than I went around a corner and I came around and I was somewhere else, you know. But I say it isn't something that I've really desired. It's just I think we need to be with the desires within our destiny. Is it something I could do? Yeah, probably if I focused on it. But actually, I don't need to right now. And I know I'm doing what God wants me to do right now. But in the future, that desire may completely change, and God may cause me to do that. And focus on it.
Yeah. Well, what I'm looking at is I've heard about, you know, people that a whole group has gone to heaven at once. And you think that with the persecution going on with Christians, you could have a whole group and one minute they're there and just like Jesus walked through the cloud, the next minute they're all somewhere else. It would have to take one person that knew how to do it that would be able to teach and impart and the whole group move. And I thought, that's an interesting thing. And, you know, that's why I'm entertaining it. I thought that would be neat. Now, my husband has translocated and preached to people. Yeah. And he'll actually speak a different language. We'll be together, and he's somewhere else, and he's speaking a whole different language fluently.
Right.
Sometimes I recognize the language, sometimes I don't. So, of course, I'm jealous, and since I'm jealous, well, then I want it. But my thought was that would be very beneficial for the persecuted church to be able to move the whole church. So it was just an idea.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, when you think about it, that's what Jesus did when he walked through people and when he disappeared in the temple. Now, I know how to do it. I know how to control the vibrational frequency of my body and align it with the spirit realm so that I am non-local, and then I can be manifested instantly somewhere else. So I understand the quantum physics behind it. I understand how it's done because Jesus told me how it was done. I've just never had the desire or felt a mandate to do it myself. And I wouldn't do anything unless I felt a desire or a mandate. And should God inspire me with that mandate, then I will pursue that and develop that desire. At the moment, it is revelation that I have, but not revelation which I have cultivated into desire, so it's part of what I do on a regular basis. And because that's where I am. But a lot of other people, they are desiring it, and in desiring it, then you know, it's a difference between it being involuntary and voluntary. And I know Ian's encounters have been involuntary. In other words, he has positioned himself and open to it, created the desire for it, and then God has used that desire to outwork it. I don't think, well, the last time I spoke to him, it wasn't something that he thought, oh, I'd like to go to China today to do this, so I'm going to trans-relocate to China to do this. So his desire is that it would become something that he could do on a voluntary thing rather than involuntary. But I guess that would require, you know, a deeper level of cultivation to do that. And again, you'd only do it when you had a mandate anyway. You know, it's not like, oh, I fancy a quick holiday to Rio to watch the football or something. I'm just going to try and relocate. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, so it would have to be something which was in alignment with the Father's will and purpose. Now, that could be for rest. Hey, I want you to have a really great rest. Go and chill out on that beach for the afternoon. Great. You know, but generally, it's in an alignment with what God's purposes are. And so we need to then get a mandate for it so that then we will be using that in accordance with God's purpose rather than, you know, fun. You know, I know how to put my hand through a solid object, but I have no need to do it. I'm not going to do things as a party trick just to sort of impress people, because that would be the wrong motive and the wrong desire of my heart to do it. So although I know how, I have felt no inclination to do so until God shows me that that's what he wants me to do. Then I will do whatever he wants me to do.
My husband, it's all been involuntary, and this is the way things seem to work, because of course we're in partnership, but I'm sort of frustrated because I'll get the desire, I'll do the study, and I'll do the research, and then he doesn't. And it's like, what is this? You know? And that's what happened with that. I had the desire, I heard about it, I studied it, I meditated on, read the scriptures, did everything, and then one night in prayer, boom, there he goes. And I'm like, this is not right.
Well, in a sense, it is the power of unity in relationship, of being a blessing to others, and God using you to be a blessing to others in that sense. And he may be just testing your attitude, of course. But, you know.
I'm being honest, it is a little frustrating and a little disappointing, you know, because I keep waiting my turn and it hasn't come yet.
But maybe you need to go and get a specific mandate. You know, for it. You know, if you go around the ark in the day, and it's, okay, God, is there anywhere you want me to go today? Is there anything you want me to minister into today? If you get no mandate for another country or another thing, well, then to try and do it wouldn't be right.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a mandate, but because you are in a position of maturity where you can go and get a mandate. He may be flowing out of the place you've been. You know, so it's an overflow of the blessing, because that may be his calling and not necessarily yours at the moment.
Okay.
So it's making sure, because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't see him doing that in your destiny today, then you have no mandate to do it.
Okay.
You know, because that's how it works, you know. And it may not be that's what God's calling you to do. It may be he's calling you to open the door for other people to do it by releasing that through your desire. So you become a portal for others, and that is the mandate for you in finding it out rather than necessarily doing it. Yeah. But you find that out really when you take it back before the Lord and ask him, you know, why is this not happening for me in this way? And he'll show you. Well, actually, because I didn't want you to do this. I just wanted you to create a faith portal for others to do it.
I do know that's one of my mandates, is actually helping people get into their callings, whatever it is. I know that. Yep. And, you know, I've seen it manifest, and that's great, and that's wonderful, you know.
Yeah, but if that is it, then you just have to be content that that's actually my role in it. Yeah, and then be blessing. Wow, isn't it wonderful that these people are, you know, because essentially that's a. I can see it. It would be frustrating, but actually, see what's multiplying, because you are multiplying that to others rather than it just being for you. You know.
That's true.
No, which is good. No, it's all good.
When I get like that, the Lord said, mine gets wet too.
Yeah. But, you know, all this is immaturity is really where we really are content. You know, Paul said, I'm content when I've got everything. I'm content when I've got nothing. Because he knew in God he had everything anyway. And it was only a manifestation away. So he was content. You know, and I think that's where God really wants us to be. Really understanding who we are, our identity, our purpose, our destiny. And just being absolutely content with that and just knowing who we are and knowing where we are. And because we're in a place of peace. And everything has to flow out of a place of peace and rest. We've entered rest. You know, and when we're in that place of rest, it doesn't mean we're not doing anything. It's just we're doing everything out of rest. So we're not doing anything for anything other than the glory of God. And that is a test point for maturity in a lot of people. Why are we doing things? And that maturity in that place of rest is that we're absolutely secure in what we're doing because we just know who we are and why we're doing what we're doing. And we can be content with that, you know. But it's a process of maturity, and we go through all sorts of things to get there. You know, I've had the same sorts of things. You know, people have greater things, but then that's what I'm supposed to do, open up a door for others to go further. You know, they can stand on my shoulders and reach higher, you know, because I'm a foundation for people to build on. So I want people to be higher. So, you know, when you sort of shared earlier about, you know, this testimony of the appeal, I love that. Because what it means is that actually people are going further, and then they can teach me, and then I can take people further, and then we can all go together further and further into the purposes of God, which is really great. All right.